Rich breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Well, it wouldn't be a Monday without Alan Adams joining us for Pass the Popcorn. And by gosh, that's what he's done. He's right here. Hi, Al.
Look, it's me.
Happy Labor Day.
And to you as well.
Thanks for coming in on the holiday to chat.
Of course. Wouldn't miss it.
Did you work today?
No. God, no.
Good, good.
That is the, my understanding is that is the opposite. It's counterintuitive what with the name, but yeah, no, my understanding is we are actually not supposed to labor on the Labor Day. So I didn't do any of the things
that the
yard work and all that, like things I absolutely should have done. I did not do.
Because it's Labor Day. Take it easy.
This
Put
is what
your
I'm saying.
Feet up, relax.
This is what I'm saying.
I spent a lot of time looking at the yard, wondering if anything needed attending to, and I decided not that much.
You know, you look around and it's like, oh, okay, we're probably getting there, but there are no emergencies out here.
No.
So let's not worry about it too much.
I'm at the point, and I do like this a lot, where my lawn can go a couple of weeks and be just fine. I enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a combination of factors. The reality is the place on my property where the grass grows the fastest is the esplanade out in front of the house.
Right.
Our backyard is kind of shaded, so it doesn't necessarily, we don't get that accelerated growth.
We're the same.
But out there on the front, it's just like, so even if the backyard is perfectly acceptable, you look at the front and it's like, I mean, you don't want your house to look condemned. Yes. And so I don't, I should mow the grass more than I do, but I don't. So there you go.
There you go. There you go. How was your weekend otherwise?
Oh, it was good. Relatively uneventful. Went to a birthday party for some folks on Friday night. Sheridan had chaired this person's MFA thesis committee, and they had passed with flying colors. And so this was a birthday celebration, but also a celebration of this sort of milestone. So Sheridan being the absolutely wonderful human that she is, made an effort to make the trip. We were down in Brooklyn, down on the peninsula there.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
So that was nice. Saturday, I didn't do a ton. Got out, played a round of disc golf with a friend. That was nice. Played a bunch of badminton yesterday.
Ooh, are you sore today?
I am, actually.
Yes.
Very much so.
Those are not muscles you normally use.
Well, it's I woke up this morning, I'm like, God, my shoulder hurts. It's like, well, you know, Alan, you did spend the entire weekend doing activities that required pretty severe motion in your right shoulder. you had done nothing to prepare for that. And so this is what happens because you are an old man now.
I had a little wiffle ball shoulder yesterday. I'm like, why is my shoulder?
Oh, right.
Threw a bunch of wiffle ball on Saturday. Yeah.
I did things. And that causes me to feel things.
Yeah.
And then today, very low key. We actually, went out with the intent of buying some plants. We were going to maybe do some gardening. Sheridan wants to plant some perennials, but we went out and the place was closed, and we're like, well, I think that's a sign.
Yes, that's an omen right there, no question.
So we actually just took a nice leisurely drive around for a while.
Very nice.
We had Stella with us, so she loves a car ride, so we just sort of did a loop, took our time getting back home, and then settled in and had a pretty quiet afternoon, actually. Watched a little bit of television.
Watched a little Price is Right, it seems.
Yeah, no, well, I turned it on, and it was one of those things where, because it was such a, you know, it's always been a staple for, like, you know, when you're sick or whatever.
Oh, yes, yes.
It was just, it happened to be a pretty solid episode as far as, like, winners. And so, and we had some very particularly expressive winners, and it was just a reminder. It's like, man, nobody's... Like, we should all aspire to be as happy as a person who just won something on The Price is Right. So that was super fun. We're trying to pick up a couple of sort of relatively recent new shows. We watched a couple of episodes of, I don't know if you've watched any Bad Monkey.
I watched the first episode because our friend Jason Preble had mentioned he liked it. It was pretty good.
Yep.
I think it reeled me in.
Yeah, no, it got me. And it just gets better. Probably halfway through episode 3, I think. And I'm here for it.
I like Carl Hiaasen's books, but this is the first time I've seen what feels like so far a pretty well done adaptation.
Well, like he's like, you know, and there are a number of authors who could probably make a claim to this title, but I would argue that Hyacin is the king of literary Florida weirdos.
Yes,
like that is that is sort of his wheelhouse. And actually, Sheridan was talking to me about this. I guess there's a relative. I guess Hyacin himself has been relatively disappointed with the screen adaptations of his work.
Yeah.
With the explanation being, you know, it's so much of his stuff is character and subplot driven, and if you make a 2-hour movie out of that, you got to chop all that stuff out.
Right.
That's just the nature of the medium. And so for it to be adapted into a television show allows a lot of that stuff, I think, some room to breathe. So that'll be really interesting. Yeah, so far so good. And I got to tell you, Rich, I don't know if you've checked out Chaos at all on Netflix.
No, but I want to. I had no idea. And I saw the little teaser for it and I thought, this looks great.
Well, it was so I wasn't sure. Like, I'm watching the trailer and it's like, oh, okay. So it's Jeff Goldblum in a tracksuit and he's Zeus. Okay. And then I'm like, but what is the context? And so, like, you watch the show and it's basically an alternate present. Where, like, as far as I could tell, like Christianity never happened. And so it's just like modern life, modern cities, but the churches are all devoted to the Greek pantheon.
Interesting.
And they live in a world where the gods still interact directly with them. And so we just watched the first episode, but man. Like, it's, you know, it's Goldblum's great, and it's got a wonderful cast, and I just, it's one of those things where, you know, Sheridan and I acknowledge that we're not necessarily the best at keeping up with TV. We generally settle into sort of comfortable Gordon Ramsay shouting at people kinds of programming. So we're making an effort to pay a little bit more attention. Nice. And so far we've been well rewarded.
Excellent. Alan Adams with us here. I wonder, you mentioned, Price is Right. I wanted to ask you about it because you've got the unique experience that none of us have as a former Jeopardy contestant. Now that they've settled in with Ken Jennings as the host, was that the right choice?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I just don't know. It was such an institutional thing. Like, I just don't know how you... Like, you can't pluck someone out of the ether and put them in that spot.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, so you have to have someone who has a real connection to the show. And, I mean, Jennings basically, like, he spent, before he got this job, he was the Jeopardy guy for, like, 15 years, 20
right.
years. Like, I mean, I did, like, once he grew into the role, because he wasn't necessarily super comfortable when he first started, he's eased into it to a point where I think he's good, and I think he's going to be there for the long haul.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
I think so, too. Hey, I wanted to mention to you as well, you were talking about seeing Friends and someone that you introduced me to, and we've enjoyed working with him through the years. He was our sideline guy for Maine football last year. We were getting ready to do the game the other night, and Ryan Perry reached out to say hello and wish us a successful football season.
Oh man, what a good kid
he is! Absolutely,
yeah, like he seems to be doing well. He's taking his National Guard service in stride. Like, he's doing all that stuff, and we actually just saw his folks here a couple of weeks ago, and by all accounts, he's doing well, and we'll wish him continued success.
All right, you've got your Elks shirt on, so what's your take so far on the CFL season?
Man, I'll tell you what. Like, the big one for me is I'm far from alone in this. I was not expecting the Alouettes to be as good as they've been.
Mm.
What did I see the other day that was really astonishing? There was a... I think it was before this weekend's contest, so I don't know if this is still true because I don't know. But they were saying Montreal had won 18 of their last 19, which is the best 19 game streak in the history of the league.
Really,
18 and one over their last 19.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So that's great. You know, stuff like. Like guys like Bo Levi Mitchell showing they still have a little bit left in the tank. I think Nathan Rourke coming back to the CFL is a big deal. You know, it's like, I know that the Canadian football crowd, I think it's I think it's difficult for them to say goodbye to native players to go to the league, but at the same time, there's a degree of pride because it is sort of the top tier league, and to see their athletes performing well in that context, I think, is a big deal. But again, it's also really great when they have for them to have a native Canadian, you know, under center. Like, that just doesn't happen over there. So that's really nice. But I'm really psyched to see what we've got going for the playoffs and up until the Grey Cup. The one thing I heard about the Grey Cup, and I may be misremembering this, but I'm pretty sure the Lumineers are playing the halftime show.
Ooh.
We got something going on there. It's been a good season. I've not watched as much as I would have liked, but more than probably most of the listening audience. It's been good, and I expect they'll close out the season with a bang.
Have you had your fantasy football draft yet?
Tomorrow night.
Oh boy.
Tomorrow night. I don't know, man. I feel wildly underprepared, but I think everybody else in the league is also wildly underprepared. So we'll see.
Do you do a snake draft for your league?
Auction.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've done snake drafts in the past with fantasy football. I think auctions are the way to go. They take a little bit longer, but it also allows every participant an opportunity at every player.
Right.
And I think that matters. You know, I think it's, you know, as opposed to having, like, you know, you get the best players because of the luck of the draw. You know, at least this way, there has to be some sort of strategy that comes into it. You know, and we have some league specific rules. Like, we have we allow keepers. I have two carryovers from last season. One at a what will be a bargain price if he stays on the field. I got a cheap Anthony Richardson. I drafted him cheap last year, and then, you know, he was great for the 2.5 games before he got hurt.
Right.
I'm hoping he makes it more than that this time, because I kept him around. And then I probably paid too much to keep Tyreek Hill. But I mean, well, it's like when you have keepers, like the player pool is diminished, and so it's right. Like for the real, like, top tier guys, like, if you've got them, You gotta try to keep them if you can. And the reality of the matter is, I probably would pay at least as much to get Hill on my team. So that's great. Again, assuming he stays on the field. It's always a little tricky once you get these speed-reliant guys start creeping up into their 30s. It's like, I mean, the cliff's coming. I hope it doesn't come this year, but we'll see how it goes. I do like that Dolphins offense. So.
Who currently occupies the Sebastian Janikowski chair in place kicking?
You know, that's really funny. I don't have anybody yet.
Oh,
I'm a little embarrassed. I was leaning towards. There was a stretch there where I thought the Chiefs kicker who shall not be named might have been that guy, but he has firmly ensconced himself in the on the naughty list, so I will not be dealing with him. So I'm not sure yet. I'd like to get a young guy, you know, somebody new, so I can really someone I can get excited about and just you know, keep around for the next 15 years. So we'll see.
I like that young Bengals kicker last year that was so good in the postseason.
McPherson.
Yes, yeah. Evan McPherson,
yeah.
I think.
The truth is, I gotta keep it quiet. I don't know if any of these guys are listening to this.
Good
and
point.
It only happened a couple of times because mostly I play with gentlemen. But there were a couple of drafts where people were sort of goosing the price on Mr. Janikowski because they knew I wanted to have him. And you know, it's like, I get it. But it's a kicker. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like, if it's like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, so-and-so is my favorite quarterback, so don't bid him up. Like, that's not how it works. But with kickers, like, who gives a crap except me? I've got the dude's autographed jersey hanging on a wall in my study. Like, I got deep love for Sebastian Janikowski, problematic as he may be.
Alan Adams with us here on Downtown. And we haven't talked any movies because there wasn't much this week, and I mentioned this. We were texting back and forth. Having only seen the trailer for Reagan and read a couple other reviews, oh, my Lord, does this sound awful.
Look, I haven't even seen a trailer. All I saw was a picture of Dennis Quaid wearing a cowboy hat, and I'm like, nope, hard pass. I do not need any part of this.
Well, when I read that they invented a character that's been described as John Voight as Boris Badenov.
It's like, look, I don't need to learn much about this movie to know that it is not for me.
No.
You know what I mean? And I haven't done no investigation, but I could hazard a guess as to the sorts of people who made this film, who financed this film. And certainly, like, Dennis Quaid's a talented actor. He's gotten weird.
Yeah.
Not John Voight weird, but weird.
And I saw a number today that was stunning to me that said in the opening weekend, I want to say 85% of the people who bought tickets to this movie were over the age of 65.
That makes a lot of sense. I can't imagine who else would want to go see this movie. Even the folks who pretend like Reagan is some like shining star bastion, like if they're not collecting Social Security, then they're not going to go see this movie. And then there was one other one that was just titled Afraid, but AI was in red. The AI in Afraid. And I'm like, okay, so I know how this goes too. So I stayed home and watched, frankly, also bad horror movie on Netflix called The Deliverance. Not to be confused with Deliverance. Because that's a different kind of horror. I'm not going to go into it. It's too bad because there are some pretty talented people associated with it, directed by Lee Daniels. Glenn Close is in this movie. Mm. But it's pretty bog standard exorcism fare. And the truth is the religious horror stuff doesn't really do it for me anyway. And the truth is they're all reinventing William Friedkin's wheel.
Right, right.
You know, like it's like everything that he did in The Exorcist, all these subsequent movies are basically recreating that in various flavors. Like it's not like no one's bringing anything new to the table. And this film, unfortunately, is no exception. So, yeah, it was not worth my time. But I didn't pay for it because, it's on Netflix. So, I paid for Netflix, but I did not go and actively purchase a ticket, embarrassing myself like all those poor sons of guns who went to see Reagan this weekend.
Now, I don't know if it's here or if it's even going to come here, but I'm kind of curious because it's getting pretty good reviews and it's got our friend Ed Begley Jr. in it. This new movie, Strange Darling, looks pretty interesting.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar.
It's a thriller, an erotic thriller.
Ooh.
Apparently. Yeah.
I like erotic thrillers.
Yeah, there you go. And some decent reviews that I've seen so far.
Excellent. Well, I mean, I think we're looking at a pretty good fall as far as movies are concerned.
Well, what are you looking forward to for films?
Well, I'll tell you right now, like first things first, I'm stoked for Beetlejuice.
Oh.
And we've talked about this, like, I'm real hit or miss with these sort of legacy sequels, but I mean they got the whole band back together.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like Burton's behind the camera, Keaton's back, Winona Ryder's back, Catherine O'Hara's back. Yeah. They brought in Jenna Ortega, who, I mean, it's like I can't imagine like you couldn't have grown a better person for this sequel in a lab. Like I mean, she's just right. Like she gets the Burton aesthetic. She looks like Winona Ryder. Like I mean, all the pieces are there. The ones that are missing, like the dude who played Otho has passed away. Jeffrey Jones, is he dead or in prison? I don't know. It's one of the two.
Maybe both.
Yeah, it could be both. Jeffrey Jones.
Dick Cavett's not working much anymore. Right.
Right. I have not seen anything about either Gina Davis or Alec Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin with his current issues, maybe no. But the reality is I would be genuinely shocked if we don't get like some sort of cameo appearance from the two of them, just because they were such a central part of the original film. But yeah, that's one that I'm super excited about. I don't know if it's going to be a beautiful or a beautiful disaster, but man, I got to see Megalopolis.
Oh yes.
Like
oh, yes.
I gotta, like, it's just like everything I've heard about it. It's like he's bookending his career with like, it's like, did you not get enough in Apocalypse Now? Who did you almost kill on this one, Francis? Because it just looks like a it looks like it could potentially be like this massive boondoggle, but it could also be this incredible like artistic achievement. And none of us know because he paid for it all himself. Right. So it's like, so there's no real like studio push. There are no leaks.
Well, and weird stories coming out about him kissing actors. And the thing I saw last week that he purposely hired some quote unquote canceled actors. So if the audience isn't what he hopes it'll be, He can kind of blame that for it.
Oh, it's wild. It is wild. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to those two. What else? There are a couple of other really good ones that I think are going to be a lot of fun. This one. I wanted to make sure. And I apologize for the language. I don't know if you've seen anything about My Old Ass.
I have not, but you've got me curious.
It's a new film. Was huge at South by Southwest, and it basically is a group of friends, young ladies, go on a camping trip, and they do a bunch of mushrooms, and in the course of doing the mushrooms, one of their older selves appears and joins them at their gathering.
Well,
and it carries forward, and the older self is Aubrey Plaza.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
all right.
Like, it's like, so it's like I don't need to know anymore,
right?
It's the vibe that I got and that I have seen sort of referenced is Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh, I love that movie.
The Mark Duplass.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza.
Right, and I think that's probably a contributing factor to it. But yeah, it's like I said, the initial critical response has been really good. So I'm expecting that one to be a good one.
I can't wait to see Jason Reitman's film about the debut episode of SNL.
Oh yeah, Saturday night's gonna be great. I don't know, like you know what it was for me, and I was a little, I'm like, oh, is this something? Is this really gonna? And then I hear like conceptually, it's like, oh, so we're doing like basically a real time, like from 90 minutes before to like live from New York. It's Saturday night. It's like, okay. And then I saw the promo pictures.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. So you have made a real effort to find people who fit, who fit the look, who fit the vibe. And it's almost all like unknowns.
Yeah. Well, I think, doesn't it kind of have to be to make it work?
Well, yeah. Cause you really, because we project so much onto these particular like individuals, like to have any sort of baggage. I think the most famous person, that I saw, and I don't know, my first instinct was that there is a relation, but I don't know if it's true. Lavorne Morris playing Garrett Morris. And he's probably the most famous, and like people probably know him from like New Girl and stuff like that, but I mean it's not like he's a movie star or anything like that. So but yeah, and there's a lot of really great like some interesting sequels, animated stuff coming out. Like there's one called The Wild Robot that I think is going to be really good. That comes out at the tail end of September. I mentioned Megalopolis. Oh, you know one that I think is going to be really interesting? Speaking of sticking on the Saturday Night Live theme, there's a documentary coming called Will and Harper, and it's Will Ferrell and Harper Steele. And they were longtime producing partners. They worked at Saturday Night Live together. And Harper Steele transitioned in his, now her, 60s. And so it's basically, this documentary is basically them on a road trip sort of reconciling with how their relationship is evolving because of this this choice. By all accounts, Will Ferrell is Will Ferrell. Incredibly, I'm sure he's been incredibly sweet and supportive. Probably makes some jokes that, were they not delivered with love, would probably. But that's what friends do. Like friends,
right.
bust each other's chops. And for him to feel like, anyway, I think that one's going to be good. And then stuff like the Joker sequel, which, I mean, I get it. I know why it happened. I'm not.
Yeah, I hope it's darker than the last one.
any other beloved Godfather actors that they can murder. Like, it's just, so, you know, there's that one. And, but yeah, it's like, there's a Moana 2 is coming. Oh. And, which, does that movie need a sequel? Probably not.
Is The Rock in it?
One would assume.
I hope so.
But I mean, God, like, what do you do if he's not? And then the one that many people near and dear to me are very excited about around Thanksgiving, the first part of Wicked, cinematic version of Wicked is coming with Jennifer Hudson and
Cynthia Erivo, right?
Oh, yes, that's right. And Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande,
yeah.
Among others. So yeah, it's, like I said, it's a very robust, I think, cinematic fall coming our way.
Nice.
And, you know, once we get a little closer, we can start talking about which ones of these movies are going to get little tiny statues come the spring. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
I want to plant the seed for people because it's a few weeks away. But one of our favorite improv shows of the year coming up end of the month.
Yeah, that's right. The focus group Goes to the Dogs will be hitting the stage at the Bangor Arts Exchange on September 27th at 8 p.m. It's our annual fundraiser for the folks at the Bangor Humane Society. We've been doing it in advance of their Paws on Parade fundraiser for many years. It's always a good time, and it's a chance for us to support a cause that is near and dear to all of our hearts. Like, we like, everyone in the group has a rescue pet, has family that has rescue pets, has been somehow touched by having a rescue pet in their lives, and, well, I mean, they need our help, you know.
Absolutely.
It's like, they do incredible work over there, and anything we can do to help ensure they have the resources to do that work, I think is great. So, and it's always a good show, and like, the turnout's good. It's going to get weird. Someone will almost certainly pretend to be a cat. Will I clean myself like an animal? Probably.
I think so.
I mean, odds are, like, it's, well, just, believe you me, it is something to see.
Well, it's coming up. And I mentioned this before you came on, but we're celebrating Thursday this week, 13th anniversary of this silly little show. And as I was explaining, you were there on day one.
Yep.
13 years ago, and have been on the show more than anybody.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
The fact that we're here for the start of the 14th year, it must be because of you, I assume.
I'm not going to say I'm entirely responsible. Don't you put that on me. No. Look, it's, what you do here is great. I think it's provided a valuable context, I think, to the local and regional and national scenes in sports and entertainment. It has been a wonderful counterpoint to some other locally generated programming over the years, which I think is lovely. And look, everyone out there who's listening, the guests that come on this show, like, there's no reason it should happen in a market like this. Yeah. Rich, you and everyone who's been on the team, all these years, done great work making it happen. So congratulations, man.
Well, thanks. But thanks for everything you've done, for being such a big part of it.
Oh, man, I just turn up, you turn the microphone on, and I try not to curse.
That's what I do. See, that's why we work so well together. Alan Adams talking movies and more this afternoon. Thanks, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
It's 5:45 here on Downtown. We'll take a little break.